The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, that was extremely disappointing.
35-yard try for Andre Schmidt, and the field goal for the former Syracuse Orange is good.
It's tough. It's tough to deal with, but you better learn from each and every opportunity.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Four-man rush. Love throws. Intercepted. Picked off. Grant Delpit down the sideline. Inside the 10 and down inside the 5.
That's a bad play call. We shouldn't have called that play. That's on me.
Flacco turns. Gives it to the rookie. Judkins into the end zone. It's a Cleveland touchdown. On the right hash. Daniel Whelan the hold. The kick is blocked. It is blocked. The Browns get the swat. Good snap. Good hold. The kick is on the way. The kick is good. The kick is good. And Andre Schmidt from 55 to give the Browns a 13-10 win.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it.
Was this weekend a fever dream? She's trying to hide it. Did I have a fever dream on Saturday and on Sunday when it comes to Wisconsin football? I got a hangover today, and I guess I'm hoping that it was all in my imagination. Hold on, let me check Google. No, sure wasn't.
Combined 17-point favorites didn't win either game?
Yikes.
17.5, excuse me, I don't want to forget the hook on the Packer game.
I suppose we may get to the debacle that was the Badgers' loss to Maryland as well this weekend, but let's begin with the one that's more recent in our memory. Green Bay Packers falling to the Cleveland Browns yesterday. 13-10, the final score. By the way, it was 10-0 with 4 minutes to play. Now, that's not good. But Gabe, I believe the analytics, you know, those predictors, I believe they had like a 93% chance to win the game, leading 10-0. With 4 minutes to go. I suppose this is why they say any given Sunday, huh? Any given Sunday, any team can beat any team.
Well, because you're watching that game, there's no way this Browns team is scoring a touchdown. Now, yeah, maybe they can get into a field goal range, and obviously, as we saw at the end of the game, their kicker's got a strong enough leg to boot a long one, but you thought that there was no chance that that Browns team was going to be in a position to score a touchdown. Just wasn't going to happen. The way that the Packers defense had played all game, the only way the Browns are scoring a touchdown is if you gift them an incredibly short field.
And
they got gifted an incredibly short field.
And we're going to get to breaking down all of the little things that ultimately led to the Packers losing their first game of the season. But I got to get to this very quickly. Joshy puts together a show sheet for us every single day. He does a fantastic job with it. It's very much the Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Listen to the adjectives that Joshy listed on the show sheet this morning. It says preposterous, sloppy, ugly, embarrassing, frustrating, angering. Fair.
Et cetera, et cetera. Not even just one et cetera. He needed to use the second et cetera to drive home the point even further.
I stopped myself because I realized I could just keep going and I was just going to
And that
waste.
Would be the entire show sheet? That would just be a piece of paper like this, just full of all the different adjectives that you could think of describing how bad things were for the Packers
I
yesterday.
Assume on some level, Joshy, it was cathartic to be able to tappity-tap out those words talking about the Green Bay Packers. And look, I think what's frustrating this morning, and I'll try to speak for Packers Nation, here is that they look so good the first 2 weeks of the season. And yes, I believe that they went into this game against the Browns a little complacent. I know Matt LaFleur said they didn't. I know Jordan Love said they didn't. I don't believe them. I think they went into this game thinking we could roll in at 50%, 60%. Hell, maybe we throw a 75% together and we're going to beat this team. And I don't understand how you could go in with that mindset knowing that you were facing one of the best defenses so far this year. I mean, Myles Garrett and company are legit. And so there's nothing, Gabe, that you're going to tell me that's going to convince me that they didn't go into this thinking, hey, we don't have to be 100%. We can go in, we can sort of just show up, and we're going to be 3-0 at the end of the day.
I guess I disagree with that. The Browns' defense is that good, and the Packers realized it to the point where they put two offensive linemen out there right away. Zach Tom felt like he had to play and blasted one play, and the oblique reared its ugly head, and who knows how many more games he's going to miss now after trying to play through that injury. So this is – the offense has not looked that sharp through two games. Now, they certainly scored enough points. The defense put them in some really good spots. They hit enough big plays. But we even walked away from those two games, despite the dominating performance that the Packers had against the Lions and the Commanders, going, yeah, they probably left like 7 to 10 points out there. And then when your offense is playing like that, and then you play one of the best defenses in the league – and you get beat up on the offensive line the way that they were, and Jordan Morgan was horrific yesterday. Had a real bad day. Whether he was at right tackle, whether he was at guard, whether he was on special teams, it was a bad day for Jordan Morgan yesterday. And when your offensive line gets pushed around like that, and your offense isn't as sharp as you'd like it to be through the first 2 weeks, this is what happens. When you're a team that leaves out points, when you have those opportunities against the Lions and Commanders, if you're not sharp, that defense can expose it. And that's exactly what the Browns did yesterday from a defensive standpoint. Now, the Packers also have one of the best defenses in the league. And you're thinking, okay, they're going to survive this, but there are still so many things you have to clean up on offense. And then, as you pointed out, the last 4 minutes happened.
800-990-3776. We're taking your reaction all morning long. So who do you blame? Look, there's plenty of blame to go around. I look at the penalties and say, you can't have 14 penalties. And what was the number of was it half of them that came in the fourth quarter? You know, when you need to lock it down, when you need to be like, okay, things have not gone our way today. We have not played a clean football game. But hell, we are one quarter away from leaving here 3-0. We are up 10-0, like I said, towards the end of that quarter. How in the world are you going to be making pre-snap penalties? How in the world are you going to be shooting yourself in the foot over and over and over again? Do you blame the aggressiveness of putting a guy like Zach Tom out there on the offensive line when he was obviously not even close to 100% healthy, given the fact that he went out after, what was it, the first series of the game, right?
First play of the game
for Zach Tom.
He lasted one play.
Do you blame the offense? Look, Jaden Reed's not going to be out there. Is he that significant that this offense can't figure it out? Josh Jacobs can't run the ball, which again, you knew that it was going to be difficult against this Browns front. You knew that running the ball was going to be tough. And frankly, it has been tough for the first three games of the season. It's been tough getting the run game going.
That's where I look at the offensive line. The offensive line hasn't been what we thought it was going to be. Even the starters, even when healthy, they haven't been what we thought that they could be. I mean, Rashid Walker has been, I think, about as good as Rashid Walker can be. There's going to be a couple of penalties here and there. He's not one of those top five offensive linemen. Zach Tom's one of your best. He missed all of last week, missed basically all of this week as well because he played one play. Who knows how much longer he's going to be out for. And Elton Jenkins, somebody that they thought could be an all-pro type center. I don't think Elton's really played that well through three games. Certainly didn't play well yesterday. And when your offensive line is playing that poorly, it's tough to do anything. Jordan Love, because it's not even just the running numbers. 31 carries for 81 yards, 2.6 yards per carry.
Yeah.
It's not even just the running yards.
2.6.
Jordan Love was running for his life yesterday. He got sacked 5 times.
Yes.
Like, this offensive line was able to hold up okay in the first couple of games. They were terrible yesterday. And they need to figure it out.
Okay.
You can't do anything offensively if your offensive line is playing that poorly.
It is a salient, relevant point by you. My question to you is this. Do you feel like they can fix it? Do you feel like the offensive line is going to be their Achilles heel for the rest of the season because they have these guys injured, because the depth that we thought that they had at those positions isn't necessarily there? Do you chalk it up as Browns are really, really good at defensively. They're really, really good defensively. It was a bad matchup. It was a bad day for them to have a bad day. Or do you think this is going to linger as the season goes on?
I think it's going to be a problem we have to keep an eye on. I think Jordan Morgan's going to be better. I think it's tough. And we've heard Brian Bulaga, we've heard Mark Tauscher talk about this, about having to bounce around on the offensive line because he was at right tackle. That wasn't going well. He ended up having to go to left guard because Banks got injured. Different injury, came in with an ankle, left with a groin. So it's not the situation that we saw with Zach Tom. And and things started rough for Anthony Belton. I think they got better as the game went on. I think the more Belton plays, the better he's going to be. Same thing with Jordan Morgan. But again, to me, the more concerning thing is, what the hell's going on with Elton? Because there was a lot of interior pressure yesterday. They had the one, there was one of the sacks from Graham where Elton, it was a lookout block. It was just, hey, look out. He just completely whiffed on the block. So I think it should be able to get better because Elgton Jenkins, we thought, was one of their best players heading into this season. But that offensive line, if they can't figure it out, if they can't find a way to run the ball better and more efficiently, this is going to be an up-and-down season on the offense.
Reaction rolling in already this morning as everybody wants to get something off their chest. 800-990-3776. That, of course, is the Carbless talk and text line. You can also weigh in on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream, and that is already popping this morning. Dave from Aaron weighing in saying, we knew it was going to be a low-scoring game, but those costly penalties and the Love turnover was the difference. You got to move on and off to Dallas. I don't know if it's that simple. Because, Gabe, what you just said, there's going to be some tweaking, there's going to be some moving, there's going to be some figuring out on that offensive line in order to feel confident going into it. Now, again, I watched the Dallas game. I watched Chicago win. I know that Dallas isn't very good, but neither were the Browns. Browns were not very good either. So now I'm sitting here going,
if you can't get the offense right against the Cowboys, we're going to be sitting here next Monday. I mean, we might have to start the show at 6 a.m. We might have to just run past Wilde and Tausch because it is going to be a five-alarm panic fire.
So you're not there yet?
No, I'm not there yet. If this offense looks like this against the Cowboys, who led a... I mean, Russell Wilson's been washed for how many years at this point? Three? And he threw for a career high last week against that Cowboys team. They were talking about Caleb Williams after 2 weeks in Chicago. Man, this Bears team might be bad enough. They might have to draft a quarterback next year. And then what did Caleb do yesterday? Four touchdowns, nearly 300 yards, lit up that Cowboys defense. So the Cowboys defense should not present much of a challenge next week on Sunday Night Football. But if it does, then we need to have some more serious conversations about this offense.
Well, you just mentioned the schedule, playing Sunday Night Football. Obviously, the Packers were playing the Thursday night game last week. They play on Sunday this week. There are people looking at that going, mini bye, Matt LaFleur? Mini bye? How are you so bad off of these byes and mini byes? You have extra time to prepare for a team, and this is how you look coming out of it? I think that is a valid criticism for the Green Bay Packers this morning as well. Chef Ed weighing in saying, this game totally falls on LaFleur. That was the worst play calling and 14 penalties, clock mismanagement, 10 days to prepare, inexcusable. Love should have never been passing on that third down play. Run, punt, make him go 80 yards for a touchdown. That from our friend Chef Ed. And it's just, oh wow, now they're coming in fast and furious. You know when you start looking at the Carbless talk and text line and you're reading something and it's just popping and moving and jumping on you? I will continue to get to the reaction as it rolls in this morning, but let's go out to the phone lines as well because folks want to be heard this morning also. Mike in Ohio, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to the Packers' loss to the Browns, 13-10 in Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah, honestly, listen, it was a terrible loss, obviously, but I think people are overreacting just a tad bit. I knew it was going to be an issue once the offensive line got all jacked up. And honestly, you guys really underestimated the Browns defense. They've been legitimately a top five defense, the last 3 years? It's more than just Myles Garrett. I believe Gabe said he thought Denzel Ward was underrated. Listen, I watch every Browns game. That's a hell of a defense. They've got a crappy offense. Once they get Reed back, once they get Watson back, that speed, solidify that offense. And obviously, Jordan's a knucklehead sometimes. Can't make that pass. Not going to defend that. They're going to be all right. Teams have these bad losses.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
And they do. And I was of the thinking that because I respected the Browns offense, but I also saw them last week give up 41. And a lot of that was because their offense made some pretty terrible mistakes against a Baltimore team. I thought that the Packers defense was good enough that there's no way the Browns could score enough points. And the defense wasn't an issue yesterday. I had zero. I guess I don't have that many notes for the defense. I really don't.
My only note for the defense, if I'm being honest with you, Gabe, was that they sort of let Quinshon Judkins run all over the place late in the game. Like, that was my biggest concern.
He had one run for 38 yards.
But it felt like every time they needed to move the chains, they were moving the chains late in the game. And part of it was the run game. And I think I had saw some number like 97 rush yards in the first two games. And I think they gave up 96. Again, a great number. I'm not going to sit here and say under 100 yards for the opponent on the ground is bad. I'm just saying that late in the game, when you need to lock it up and you need to keep them from moving the chains, it would have been nice to see a little bit more of an effort there
from them. You give up 13 points in an NFL game, you should win that game. You should win that game.
I also think it went unrecognized that Devontae Wyatt is hurt and wasn't playing. That interior and the defensive line wasn't as good against the run than we've seen.
When they don't have Devontae, they lack size.
Yes.
They lack size on that interior. And that's the the downside of trading away Kenny Clark is you had two big guys, you traded away one, and you're kind of lacking size and experience now at that position. And if somebody like Devontae Wyatt gets hurt, you can be susceptible to things like that.
Couldn't agree more on the Kenny Clark point that you just made. Hopefully this is a reset and a wake-up call for our Packers, says Ronnie in the 262. They're good, but they have a lot to work on and improve. My bigger concern is Jordan Love. I personally think we've crowned him too soon. I'm not convinced he isn't just a guy, probably in the 8 to 12 ranking range as an NFL quarterback. Not good enough to make you a serious Super Bowl contender. I'd like to sit on that for the next segment of the program, 800-990-3776, because Homer went on a rant yesterday about our guy, Jordan Love. We're going to hear from Homer and get your reaction to what he had to say yesterday on the postgame show right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Cheez-It, the legendary snack cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. And as you might imagine, each crust, a giant original Cheez-It flavor cracker that's square-shaped, duh, because that's what Cheez-Its are. So it has to be a square-shaped pizza. It's ultra-thin, super crispy, and has that perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor to kind of complement everything else that you're used to when it comes to a Palermo's pizza, because this is a Palermo's premium pizza. So each of the crust flavors, again, they're fantastic. Whether you're looking for the Italian four cheese, Cheddar Jack Supreme, or the pepperoni, and it has one of the shortest bake times. So you go from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Now, again, when I was talking about this with Strofe, he said his is 9, so, you know, 8-9 minute range, depending upon your oven. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your grocer's frozen pizza section. Cheez-It is now a frozen pizza.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well,
gonna have to clip that
yeah,
for me?
That's just, I mean,
just hold on to it.
Yeah. I know, I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just, I think it's something in my brain's telling me.
Something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. On the second floor, you will find the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails, Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Start your day with a breakfast. Whoa. That fuels you. Sounded like, I know. It sounded like what it sounded like. Stop in for dinner that sparks conversation or linger late into the evening. You know what? I'm just going to move on. Visit our friends over at St. Kate the Arts Hotel and see their new Studio Kitchen and Cocktails. Breakfast? Hey, good for you. Sorry, try to bring a little levity here this morning as the Packers lose to the Browns yesterday, 13-10. Woof, was it bad. I got a little bit of a Wisconsin football hangover this morning, and I know I am not alone. Lots of reaction rolling in. We will continue getting to that as the show rolls on, but I want to get to our friend Homer, who had some reaction yesterday during the postgame show. Obviously, Homer, frustrated with the fact that the Packers went into that game undefeated, thought that they would leave the game undefeated, thought that the Packers were a far superior team to the Browns, and yet here we are, any given Sunday and whatnot. Let's hear from Homer yesterday on the postgame show about the quarterback Jordan Love.
You cannot trust Jordan Love. I don't care if they're paying him $100 million. I don't care how good you think he is, but you cannot trust him. That is done and over. You must recognize one of his weaknesses, and there are other strengths, is his ability to do incredibly stupid things, and you cannot give him the opportunity, because the next time it happens when you do, it's going to cost you something way bigger than this.
Let's talk about it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Gabe, do you agree with Homer that you cannot trust Jordan Love?
Absolutely not. I am not there yet with Jordan. Now, some of the things Homer said is true. Now, you can't defend the interception he threw yesterday. It's a pretty dumb interception. He put the ball in harm's way. I'm not even more, going back to the Lions game in week one, it was the play before the potential pick six that was called back because of a penalty. That was just, to me, a great play made by the defender. But the play before, we just kind of lobbed it out into the flat, and Anzalone should have picked it off for the Lions, and he just dropped it. Like, those are the decisions. You're going to throw interceptions. Guys are going to make great plays on the ball when it's in the air. That happens throughout the course of a 17-game season. But yesterday was a dumb interception, and he has had the propensity to put the ball into harm's way. But if you don't trust Jordan Love, if you can't trust your quarterback, then it's over. Packers can't win a Super Bowl unless Matt LaFleur, this coaching staff, this team, trusts Jordan Love. And I think they still do. But if you don't trust your quarterback, you can't win a Super Bowl. I can't think of any team that did not trust their quarterback and somehow won a Super Bowl in the modern era. Maybe it happened back in the 70s and the 80s and maybe a little bit into the 60s, and maybe it happened then. I have no idea. But in the modern era of football, if you don't trust your quarterback, you can't win the Super Bowl. There's only so much things you can do, because even when Peyton Manning, who was bad in his last year when they won the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 50 for the Denver Broncos, like, Peyton was smart enough to know his limitations, and they trusted him to know how to handle his limitations at that point in his career, and they trusted Peyton Manning. If you can't trust Jordan Love, then it's over. Then it's done.
All right, far be it for me to try to bring some nuance into here. I don't think that it is as extreme as you can't trust Jordan Love. I don't think there are any perfect quarterbacks out there, right? You even think about Tom Brady when he was winning all of those titles. What was the criticism of Tom Brady? Well, he's a statue out there. He's not very mobile. He's not going to get you the yards with his feet and all that type of stuff. Obviously, they went on to have an incredible stretch there with the Patriots. Yeah, I don't even talk about him with the Raiders right now. That's a whole other topic for a whole other day. But my point is this. When you're building a prototypical quarterback, yes, you'd like to have a little of this and a little of this and a little of this, and then you put the recipe together. Jordan is always going to have a little bit of that choke gene. I'm sorry. He just does. And I think that you see it on some of these plays. You saw it yesterday with the interception to Delpit. You saw it in the NFC wildcard game against the Eagles, where he threw three interceptions in that game. That obviously affected their ability to move on. You saw it in the divisional game against the 49ers in 2024. That was a Greenlaw interception. Heck, you could even make the argument that earlier this year, guys, he threw that pick six. It was a near pick six because there was a penalty that brought it back. But in the game against the Lions, like, there are moments when Jordan either is trying to do too much or is missing something defensively, which I think is what it was yesterday. I don't think he saw Delpit at all. When we heard the explanations about it, they were in man and then they peeled off to zone and you saw the guy sort of fill that window. We heard it. We got it. But I do think that that's part of Jordan Love's makeup. And I would very much like, Gabe, if I'm being honest, as a person who pulls for the Packers, for him to get that out of his system. But at this point in his career, Gabe, I just think you have to live with it. I don't think that it is something. I think that when push comes to shove and the pressure ratchets up, Jordan is one of those guys who is going to make boneheaded plays.
But it's not like the interception ended the game. He still got them into field goal range. Like, he bounced back from it. That's why I cannot defend the interception. Can't do it. Because it was a bad play. There's no way to defend it. Again, they explained it. Jordan said, I got to see him somehow. It was a bad play. Bad play at an incredibly bad time. But then he still bounced back from that and got them into field goal range. So he was able to put it behind him and still put them in. And again, then the special teams and Jordan Morgan got pushed back too far and ended up allowing a blocked field goal. So it ended up being... Again, he was able to bounce back and potentially leave that play behind him. I think he made that dumb play. I still have faith that he's going to be able to learn and grow and still be able to overcome that. You make bad decisions. Again, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, there are times where they make really bad decisions. You go, what? Where the hell did that come from? And that's what that was yesterday with Jordan. But then he got him in position to still potentially win the game. And the special teams let him down. And this would be a completely different conversation had that field goal not been blocked and the Packers win 13-10 instead of them losing 13-10.
I guess, again, I want to make sure that we're clear that we're on the same page here. I am not saying we're at the point where you shouldn't trust Jordan Love. I just believe that this is a flaw in his makeup, that this is sort of something that he just sort of deals with, which is the boneheaded plays every now and again. And again, I appreciate to your point that he was able to recover from it. But I also think that, like, I have never gotten the sense from Jordan Love. And look, guys, I'm here to listen. If you think I'm wrong on this, please tell me. I have never gotten the sense from Jordan Love that he can throw the team on his back, that he can see what's happening, whether it's with the special teams, that he can see what's happening with the defense. Hell, he can recognize that his offensive line isn't even close to 100% and he can make the necessary adjustments to work around it, to make the team better in spite of those deficiencies. Have y'all seen that yet from Jordan Love? Because that's what I think people are pointing to when they talk about him being an 8-12 ranked quarterback in the league. Have you ever seen a game where you're like, Jordan put the team on his back today, and that is why they won, despite all of the things going wrong, despite all of the chaos surrounding him, he was the reason that they won that game?
I mean, I would say that happened quite a bit in 2023. You know, I think of that game that they had against Kansas City. Heck, the game they had the week before against Detroit.
But we haven't seen it since, right? We keep pointing to that 2023 stretch, and we keep saying, like, oh, my goodness, when is he going to reclaim that? When are we going to see that again? I think that's the frustration, is that people are going, we still haven't seen that. And yesterday, again, would have been a great example, and I know you're going to keep pointing to, drove him into field goal range, gave him a chance to win the game. But I still think that there are moments where I want to see the quarterback of the team put the team on its back and be the reason they won, and that wasn't the case yesterday.
Yeah, that wasn't the case yesterday. He's going to have plenty more times and more opportunities to show that. Look, we can't have it both ways and be like, well, Jordan was injured last year, but then be like, oh, how come he didn't show it last year? All right? You can't have it both ways. He showed it in flashes and in spurts last year, but because of his injury, the Packers fundamentally changed who they were and became this run-oriented football team because he was injured last year and decided that they wanted to continue to try to do that this season. Now, it hasn't gone as well, again, going back to a lot of the offensive line deficiencies and not being able to open up anything for Josh Jacobs through the first 3 weeks of the season. So I think he's going to have plenty of opportunities to step up and try to make those plays. I think that's where it comes down to having, you know, again, instead of a mishmash of wide receivers, like, oh, yeah, we can just spread it around. It's nice to have a different playmaker, somebody who can step up and help Jordan make those plays. I think that can make a big difference for the Packers as well. I can't defend the interception. It was a bad play at a bad time.
But you still trust him.
I still trust him. I still think he's going to have a tremendous season. And I think that he is somebody that the Packers are 100% counting on. Because again, if they can't run block for Josh Jacobs, they're going to have to make the pivot the way that they pivoted last year. And they're going to have to trust Jordan even more, getting the ball into the hands of somebody like Matthew Golden, into the hands of somebody like Tucker Kraft.
Steve the Homer True said yesterday on the postgame show, you cannot trust Jordan Love. Do you agree? Let's go out to the phones. Jack in Waterford waiting patiently. Good morning, Jack. Do you trust Jordan Love?
Yeah, no. You stole my thunder, Jen, when you brought up a bunch of points I was going to bring up about things that he's made. He has no situational awareness. Like, the time in the game and where you're located on the field, you can't throw that ball. I mean, if this was third quarter and it was on the 45-yard line, it's a little less risky. But, I mean, it looked like they were trying to lose that football game. Did it not? Or is it just me? Like, what can we do right here to get them? Oh, we got to get them a touchdown. Jordan, you threw a terrible pass. You know, inside the 30-yard line at the wrong – there was three brown jerseys there. I don't understand how he thought that was an exceptional or acceptable risk, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, again, he just didn't see Delpit, who passed off. You know, he was trying to hit the second window. I think he saw him then kind of late and then just kind of – because there was nothing on that throw. So I think he just kind of got to the point where he was releasing it. It's like, oh, no. And then you just – it kind of happens in slow motion. Again, it's a bad play, but at the same time, when a team's playing man-to-man and it's a quick toss, it's going to be a tight window. Like, wherever you're trying to fit that ball into, and Jordan said is the footwork was 1-2, try to get the ball out, that's what the play call is, there's going to be a tight window there. And he just didn't see Delpit there, who had passed off and was kind of a rover on that play. So it's inexcusable. I can't defend it. I don't think anybody can defend it, but that doesn't color my opinion on Jordan Love. If you watch any game, a lot of guys are going to have some inexplicable plays as the season wears along at probably some inopportune times.
Go back out to the phone lines. Brandon in Tulsa waiting patiently on the line this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Homer says you cannot trust Jordan Love. Do you agree, Brandon in Tulsa?
I don't agree fully that you can't trust Jordan. I've seen enough bad quarterback play in the league to know he's not going to be bad 17 weeks out of the year. But here's where I don't trust him or LaFleur quite as much. I mean, do you guys remember how angry Aaron Rodgers would get when guys would make mental errors? It was always a story every year. Aaron is ripping this guy in practice, or Aaron is ripping these guys in the game. And he would just give them the most, you know, icy looks, and Josh is well documented on the way he treated guys. But one thing you couldn't define those teams as was inherently sloppy year in and year out. I think the reason why we're seeing so many penalties and such a sloppy team is because Jordan either doesn't know how or isn't interested in holding guys to a certain standard. I don't trust him much as a leader. Like, the QB play is one thing. I don't think Jordan is able to hold the team accountable the way Aaron was, and I don't think LaFleur does either. There's no other reason why this team is this sloppy post-Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, other than the QB, the leader of the team, can't or won't hold guys accountable. So that's where I don't trust Jordan as far as what he's doing at the QB position. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Appreciate the reaction this morning, Brandon. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur yesterday on the interception, because I think that is going to be a big buzz moment in the game. Obviously, the Packers are in position to win the game. Jordan throws the INT. Here's Matt LaFleur talking about that play.
Yeah, so they were playing man coverage, and the guy, Delpit, did a hell of a job. He passed off Tuck to the inside backer, and he fell off in the window. So, you know, that's a bad play call. We shouldn't have called that play. That's on me.
What's the alternate, though, there, Gabe? What's the alternate play?
Look, that's just what Matt LaFleur does after losses. Like, I can't take him actually just saying, because that's what he does. He just takes all the blame, tries to take the blame off the players. That is Matt LaFleur 101. He's done this a lot of times after the Packers have lost games. So I can't take that seriously. I think he's just trying to protect his quarterback there.
I think it was a bad play call.
Where would you like to have seen the ball go?
Run it. You have a defense.
Third and three, right?
Yep, you have a defense. Your defense is the reason you guys are going to, if you do make it to a Super Bowl, trust your defense. Run it. You don't get it, punt it. They're not going to go down the field and score on you.
Yeah,
unless you give them good field position with an interception.
Correct.
They return
I agree, but I don't know if Matt LaFleur actually feels that way, Josh. What I'm saying is I think he's just protecting his quarterback in that moment. I don't know if Matt actually thinks that was a bad play call.
I think he
Because that's what he says every time.
Right.
Every time somebody does something bad, he says it's on him.
I agree. So, he does say that. But also, it was a bad play call. We could say that definitively. No reason to put the ball at risk there.
800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in fast and furious.
Yeah, I think
almost
you're playing the result
difficult.
There. Like, if Josh Jacobs fumbles the football, oh, I should have thrown it. Why didn't you trust your quarterback in that situation?
Why do I feel like that line from Happy Gilmore? He did have a beard. Josh Jacobs did fumble the football. I mean, I know
that's what
that
I'm
it
saying.
Was reviewed.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you give it to him and then he fumbles in that situation, then I think you're playing the result a little bit. Like, if
or I'm playing what makes a lot of sense based on the context of the said game.
If Delpit doesn't pass him off and they get the first down, it's not a conversation.
And if Jordan Love
That's
drops the ball, like you put the ball at risk when you have a defense that you should trust. That is inevitable. That is what happened.
I guess I don't know if it's a bad play call or not. I don't dive into, oh, Matt LaFleur is a terrible play call. I have no idea. I've never called plays in the NFL. I don't buy into I know what's right and what's wrong
Your
in terms
point
of play
is
calling.
More, you can't trust Matt LaFleur's reaction
Correct.
To the play because he always is going to say, that's on me, as opposed to
yeah.
Jordan made a boneheaded play or something of the like.
Yeah, and it just comes down to me of, again, he trusted Jordan in that situation. I continue to trust Jordan in those situations.
Alan weighing in saying, I agree with Homer on Jordan Love. It's to the point that I cringe when he drops back. The coach is in his seventh year and still has to say, that's on me. He's literally had 6 years of preparing teams.
I want to go back to the point the caller was making about Aaron Rodgers and his leadership style. I don't think you can ask Jordan to be somebody he's not. Jordan is very obviously not that type of leader. And you don't have to be that type of leader to be successful to win Super Bowls. I look at Jalen Hurts. Dude was emotionless as the team blocked a kick to win the game, and then Jordan Davis is rumbling back to score a touchdown in the Eagles-Rams game yesterday. I don't look at Jalen Hurts as this guy who gets all fiery and tries to hold people accountable. But then that does come down to the coaching staff. And again, they have to hold this team accountable. Maybe that's Micah Parsons, who was holding himself accountable for the penalties that he made yesterday. That's the downside of having all these young players who are coming up together. Maybe you don't have that leader who's feeling comfortable to step up and try to do that within the locker room, and it puts more on the coaching staff, and they haven't answered it. I don't put the leadership thing on Jordan. He's a different leader than Jordan Love. Or excuse me, he's a different leader than Aaron Rodgers was. That doesn't mean he's bad or ineffective. It just means things have to be done differently.
If somebody came in here with similar experience to us and started telling us how to do everything and barking at us and telling us we were boneheads, it just doesn't carry the same weight as it does with Aaron Rodgers.
And Aaron...
Aaron earned the right to do that as much as many of us didn't like it. He was nearly perfect at his job.
Maybe I'm misremembering early Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think he did that
Correct.
When he was a younger player and he had Greg Jennings and Donald Driver, and he had these other young guys around him. I think that became part of Aaron as he recognized, I'm an older guy, we've got some younger guys around us, and somebody needs to hold these guys accountable.
Love will always be complimentary and never the main course. That from Ryan from Maguanago. He says, Rodgers and Favre were the main course. 800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in this morning. Want to get to as much of it as we can. We have folks who are on the line. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we want to hear from all of you. Homer says, you cannot trust Jordan Love. Do you agree? We'll continue that conversation right after this.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. Experience the difference with Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy? Where you can recruit?
Gotten?
A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We love fall in Wisconsin around here. I mean, we would prefer wins on a fall Saturday and Sunday, but, you know, maybe that's asking a lot right now. Cool nights, game days, apple orchards, pumpkin patches, and it is also one of the best times to sell your home. Fewer homes are on the market in the fall. Buyers are motivated, and that gives you the advantage. Instead of waiting for the spring rush, close on your home before the first snowfall. The WeSell Group knows how to put you in the driver's seat. They've helped countless Wisconsin families move forward, and they are ready to do the same for you. Get your fall home sale started with Rob and Nick today at WeSell.kw.com. Recapping the Packers' loss yesterday to the Browns, and listen, I want to be very clear on this because I do feel like sometimes people pop in and they pop out and they're hearing and they're not hearing and they're distracted and whatnot. I'm not panicking about the Green Bay Packers. I'm not sitting here saying that because they lost to the Browns, the sky is falling, the season is over. You know, I'm not despondent like that, and I hope that most people out there aren't. Are there things to clean up? Yes, sometimes, and Chewy says this all the time, I don't even want to play the drop, sometimes you need a wake-up call. Sometimes you got to go into a game and you got to realize 14 penalties, offensive line play, crapola. You know, you need something to remind you that maybe you're not as good as you thought you were, because the Packers and most Packers fans thought they were pretty dang good headed into this game against the Browns. So I'm not panicking. Teams that go on to win the Super Bowl lose games. I don't think I'm, you know, breaking any news here to people who follow the sport.
And I know we bring it up all the time, and it was the year that the Packers lost the Super Bowl in 1997. But they had pretty inexplicable loss to the Indianapolis Colts that year. Really bad one. And it was actually the opposite, where the defense just completely, you know, crapped the bed. The offense did what they were supposed to. You score 30 whatever points they scored that day, you're supposed to win NFL games. Instead, the defense gave up like 40 points in that game, and the Packers ended up losing. So it does inexplicably happen from time to time. It's not... Last year, the Falcons weren't a very good team last year, especially with Kirk Cousins. The Eagles lost to the Falcons in week two last year. So these things happen. It's about how you respond and bounce back. I'm not panicked about the offense yet. But if they look like this, or they don't put up a decent amount of yards and points against a pretty crappy Cowboys defense that's made everybody look good, then I think we've got more issues and reason to panic about this offense. But they haven't been sharp through 3 weeks. Even putting up 27 points in week one and week two, we walked away from those games going, we probably lost, you know what, 3, 7, 10 points out there where they had opportunities, weren't able to cash in. So the offense does need to clean it up, but I think we've seen enough through three games to know that the offense can be good enough with how good this defense is, because the defense was still spectacular yesterday.
So we are in the reserving judgment portion of the program, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you following along at home, let's go back out to the phone line. Lots of folks want to be heard this morning, understandably, after a 13-10 loss to the Browns. Let's see. Wow, patience is a virtue, and these guys have been patient. Let's go out to Doug in Kenosha. Doug, you're up first here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Homer says you cannot trust Jordan Love. Do you agree?
Totally disagree. Jordan Love is fine. He's not like Rodgers or Favre. You remember Favre's days, he used to have 4 or 5 interceptions a game. He'd bring us back, win games and all that. Everybody's too hard on Jordan Love. He's He's a good quarterback. Just let the guy play. That's the way LaFleur does it. He's just trying to get him through the games and let the defense win. I don't know where the running game went. That's my problem.
Offensive line, man. Offensive line, just not getting it done. They're not. I think Jason said it yesterday. I think it was Jason, or maybe it was Balaga. I can't remember, on Green Bay game day before the game yesterday, where it just has felt like, and this was even before the game yesterday, just about every yard of Josh Jacobs has been after contact this year. That's the way it just kind of felt. So the offensive line has not done a good enough job of opening it up. And if they are facing stacked boxes, kind of like they were yesterday, like we know they have been through the first 3 weeks, then it is up to the offensive line to protect for a little bit longer so they could take shots down the field. They just were unable, for whatever reason, to do that yesterday for Jordan.
Adam in the 920 says, it's one game, one loss, but if next week is the same, then Homer may be right about Jordan. For now, everyone gets a mulligan. Let's go back out to the phone line. Jason and Tosa, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you trust Jordan Love?
At this point, I trust Jordan Love more than I trust Matt LaFleur in these types of games. You know, there's many ways to win games in the NFL. I remember the Patriots winning a Super Bowl 13-3 over the Rams a year after they lost 41-33 to the Eagles. I think Matt LaFleur is an above-average coach overall, and he can lead the Packers to a lot of 41-33 type wins. But I don't think he's all that good in games that feature opponents with strong, aggressive defenses and competent special teams. Look at last year's playoff loss. The Eagles, you know, went on to win the Super Bowl. The defense played really well, but the offense, again, scored 10 points. And on the opening kickoff, the special teams fumbled, and Philly was up 7-0 immediately. In 2021, the playoffs against Jimmy Garoppolo, who looked like Joe Flacco yesterday, the defense, again, played really well. In fact, they only gave up 6 points. But there, the offense, again, scored just 10 points. And the special teams had a field goal block and a punt block for a TD. Which brings me to yesterday's game. It was also 13-10. The defense played really, really well. The offense couldn't generate much, 10 points. And the special teams crapped the bed again. We could go back to 96 or 2010 and talk about how every team loses a game. But this is the Packers under Matt LaFleur losing games in the same way. I think if Packer fans are being honest with themselves, what they really saw yesterday was like, this is how it's going to bite us in the playoffs.
Appreciate the call. Lots of reaction rolling in. Let's try to get to a couple more here. Ron in Sheboygan. Well, Ron in Sheboygan is on one, huh? Good morning, Ron. What do you got for us?
I'm going to give you guys the bottom line up front. Best thing that could have happened to this team was losing yesterday. They rolled out their cleats yesterday. You could see it in the first half. Pre-snap penalties. If you watch the film, you'll see that the defense was nowhere near as fast in the first half as it was in the first two games. You had a player that talked about, we're going to win all 17 games. They were reading their press clippings. They were full of themselves, and they got humbled. You can't walk into any NFL stadium and play the way you played yesterday and not expect to get beat. And you can speak it from the podium. You can scream it in practice. If you don't bring your best, the teams are going to beat you. If you don't play up to the NFL standard of play, these teams are going to humble you. But until it actually happens, you don't believe it. And being the youngest team in the NFL, again, I think they learned an extremely valuable lesson yesterday that will carry out through the season. They rolled out their cleats yesterday. They did things that they don't normally do. They were full of themselves. They were reading their press clippings, and they got humbled.
Good stuff from Ron this morning. Let's go out to Jason before we take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason and Minnie, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you trust Jordan Love?
Jordan, it's Jen, it's like you said, he's got the choke gene, right? It's just baked into his nature. He is going to have 2, 3, 4, 5 plays per game, and it could just be a little dump-off pass to Jacobs where he misses him by a mile, and they're 10 feet from each other. He's going to have those boneheaded plays. And it's like hope and luck are not a strategy, but that's what it's going to take for us to get through playoff games where we don't pay the ultimate price for those. Anzalone dropped it against the Lions in week one. and then a penalty overturned the next pass, which is a terrible pick six. Like,
the guy made a diving play. I'll push back on that one.
Okay, I know. Okay.
Guys make plays. They get played too. They get paid too.
I get it. I respect your football acumen. I learn a lot from listening to you, and I'm like a hyperbolic high and low guy. And, you know, I can ride high with you when you're high, but you do good at not getting us low. I absolutely disagree with you and I agree with Josh. It is not playing the result there. Like, it is about percentages. You have to have a 30,000-foot view of what's happening in this game. You are a defensive-led team. Your defense, you run the ball because you have a less percentage chance of having something disastrous happen in that game. What are we doing? And you know Jordan Love's brain short circuits. You've been watching it for years. Just hand the ball off and punt. Your defense is not going to let them go down the field and score. I do not trust Matt LaFleur. He's a good coach, fastest coach to 50 wins, yada, yada, yada. But in the biggest spot, like, he was tight for this game. Zach Tom shouldn't have gone out, but Matt LaFleur is just teams take on the identity of their coaches. And that team played yesterday like Matt LaFleur's psychology, like the deep structure and scaffolding of him as a human being, as a head coach. That's what that team played like yesterday, I feel like. I mean, he's not out there on the field pre-snap penalty, there's just something about him, skittish and scared. And it just baffles me, and I don't trust him in the biggest spots. Do I think we should fire him? No, we're stuck with him. We ride or die now. But
thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Good stuff from our callers this morning. People feel very strongly. And again, it's one loss. I don't think it is an indictment on the entire season. But I do think, and we're going to continue talking about this, Gabe, that we need to be giving more attention to the offensive line.
Because
the offensive line is a big reason why some of these things happen. The offensive line struggles speeds up Jordan Love's clock, right? And so you start talking about him having to make plays faster than he wants to and trying to get the ball to his guys downfield. I get it. There's a lot of stuff to nail down on here. I do think that the goal, and I do agree with the caller who says, sometimes you need a wake-up call. And maybe this Browns loss is the wake-up call that this offense and this team needed in order to to start gathering some momentum to make a deep run. We still have a lot of people waiting on the phone lines. I want to get to those calls. We have to take a break. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We want to hear from you this morning as we continue asking you, do you trust Jordan Love as the quarterback of your franchise? Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment, because there are a lot of customers that have apprehensions about inviting somebody into their home. I get it. But when you invite Pella into your home, you're going to get to experience what Pella wants to do for you. I invited them to my home. We took a look at the windows. Yeah, probably good there. Let's focus on this front door. They walked me through all the customizable options, and we ended up with a beautiful new front door on our home. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. If you order by the end of the month, 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today. When you use Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
When I need to get somewhere on time and in style, I use Accutrans Group. They're my go-to when I got to get to the airport during this busy travel season, and they are our preferred transportation for Green Bay game day. Here at Good Karma Brands, we rely on them for our partners because they know how to handle everything. From corporate travel and conventions to private events and tailgates, they learn your preferences, they're always on time, and they make booking simple. And I tell you guys this every year about this time. If you have a kiddo who's going to a dance, homecoming is coming up within the next few weeks, and you don't want to be driving them around from your house to dinner, from dinner to the dance, from the dance to home, call my friends at Accutrans. They'll handle it for you, and you can trust them. Their website is AccutransGroup.com. That's AccutransGroup.com. Reaction rolling in this morning as people talk about the Packers losing to the Browns. And again, it is not the end of the world. We do not think it is the end of the season. We are not sitting here saying they cannot win the Super Bowl. They cannot be a deep playoff team. What we are saying is we're starting to see cracks. There's a few things here that they have to get shored up. There's a few things here they have to address. Gabe is very hot about the offensive line play, and the way that affected the offense as a whole yesterday. Let's go out to the phone lines. Ricardo in Canada has been waiting patiently to talk this morning. Ricardo, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Morning, guys. Listen, this guy's not falling. However, there's one glaring trend that's starting to really tick me off with Matt LaFleur. I feel like sometimes he runs his team like it's a house league soccer team, and every player needs to have their turn on the field. Okay, I think it needs a little bit more meritocracy, and the better players need to play. The first drive, Golden was unguardable. He had like two catches for 20 yards, and then they didn't go back to him until the fourth quarter again. And then Josh Jacobs, who's your power back in the fourth quarter, you need 3 yards, but no, you're running Golden on reverses for some reason. But no, we're running Savion Williams, Malik Heath out there. Our tight ends disappear. Like, Matt LaFleur needs to realize your better players need to play and just feed them the ball until they can be stopped. All right? And the offensive line, the whole issue with the offensive line is that it's juggling chairs. Listen, Jordan Morgan is not good enough to be all five positions on the offensive line. Give him a position. You're not good enough to be in the starting left tackle. You're the backup guards. You're going to focus on guards. Dalton, you're the backup right tackle. Like, everybody needs to have their position, you know, cemented so they know when someone goes down, they're in, it's practice. You get cohesiveness this way. Because if not, it's going to be musical chairs all day. And it's been going on for 3-4 years like this. Whole rotation, rotating guards, rotating tackles. Like, who else does this? Nobody does that. Only we do. But it's only week three. If we're going to have a game like this, it's good against the Browns, someone in the AFC who probably won't mean anything towards our standing at the end. Guys, we're going to be okay. We're going to go beat the Cowboys, and everything's going to be great. Happy days, people.
The one thing, I mean, the rotation thing, I don't know of anybody who's been a fan of that, whether it's been, you know, rotating at left tackle like they did, you know, with Sheed and Yosh Nijman a handful of years ago. Obviously, they were doing that last year. Even a little bit this year at right guard, they were doing that with Jordan Morgan. But when it comes to offensive linemen, like, you do need somebody who is versatile. Every team needs somebody. And unfortunately for Jordan Morgan, he was bad at right tackle yesterday. I think he settled into the game a little bit better once he was moved to left guard. Still had, you know, a false start penalty, but I think his blocking was a little bit better yesterday there. It's, you need guys who are versatile, because teams don't have 10 offensive linemen that they trust and go, oh, you're just the backup left tackle. You're just the backup left guard. There's typically 6 or 7 that you trust. So you end up needing somebody with versatility that can bounce around to those spots. And they did probably ask a little much out of Josh Morgan yesterday. We talked about that last week of, okay, who's going to be the starting right tackle? The Packers were, okay, if Zach Tom doesn't start, don't know what we're going to be doing out there. Tom goes down, Morgan ends up playing right tackle, and that was a disaster, because it's not really a spot he spent a ton of time on, because he was in battle for left tackle and right guard during training camp.
Well, and I love the point about you want to ride the hot hand, right? If you've got Golden, you want to use Golden. If you've got Josh Jacobs, you want to use Josh Jacobs. But guess who scored the first touchdown for Green Bay yesterday, guys? Not number one in your hearts from a tight end position. Not number two in your hearts from a tight end position. John Fitzpatrick had the 3-yard touchdown. So to the point about spreading the ball around, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth on that, right?
I'm 100% there with him. We've seen this spread the ball. Oh, it's harder to defend when you're playing a really good defense and you don't have a stud that you rely upon and demands extra attention. That makes it harder, because these defenses just go, oh, there's nobody we have to really care about. We're just going to play our stuff. We don't have to roll coverage over to this guy or that guy. That's where not having a stud pass catcher can hurt you when you're playing great defenses like this, because they don't care. They're just going to run their stuff and not have any special attention and have any miscommunications, because they're uncomfortable with somebody who's out there on the field.
But I don't think that John Fitzpatrick was the first option on that play. I think
that was an extended play.
Right? Fitzpatrick got open. Jordan looking for an open guy. Everybody else is covered, and he's standing there in the end zone. And so that's the idea about sometimes it's good to have that type of depth. Sometimes it's good to have other guys who can make plays as well.
I do think also we saw a very condensed wide receiver room. Matthew Golden played 71%, Dontavian Wicks 68%, and Romeo Doubs 89%. That's something we haven't seen, to have three guys that were so clearly up and above the rest. Now, it's a depth thing, surely, but we did see Bo Melton for a bit, a little Savion Williams.
Yeah, I mean, but those were both times that those guys were in, it was more gimmicky, yes, special plays, like, right, a special package that they had put together to try to get more speed on the field.
71 is more than enough for a rookie.
Lots of reactions.
The most I think he's played all year.
Yes.
On the Carbless Talk and Text line, I really like this one. Short and sweet and to the point. What a kick in the shorts. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.